You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Trample Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, August 26th, 2023. I'm your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Gordo.
Hello. How you doing, Andy? Are you well?
I am hanging.
Good.
Hanging. I've been doing a lot more exercise recently, right? So I cannot drink at the same rate or level, because I'm not taking in as many calories and I'm burning loads of them off. And I didn't really factor that in. So, yeah, I'm suffering slightly. Well,
I mean, suffering is a good way to talk about some of the things that happened on last week's podcast. So I'm excited to do that.
That is true indeed. We had co-host Jerome Else with us last week, but that was a 1 week only. We are back with Mr. Dave Greenfield. How you doing, Dave?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Bit better than Gord, actually, not sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was all right for you, shelling five past us. That was nice. Yeah, we can't defend. I felt like Andy watching it, talking about Dundee United not being able to defend, like, crosses. We just kept conceding the same goal at the back post. Yeah. The first three goals were, like, unmarked back post headers. You think after two, they're like, just put a man in the back post. Nope, just let him in for another wee header. But yeah, so that was
three. Three is the magic number. It reminds me, do you remember the film My Cousin Vinny, where he's like, he failed his bar exam like the first few times, and the guy's like, three was the magic number. Six was the magic number.
Yeah, well, five was for Villa. So as I was saying to Dave, I hope they're putting out some kind of fan team, or like, I don't know, they're under nines or something. Fit for fairness in the second half, in the second leg, but yeah,
brutal,
they took us
it?
Apart.
Absolutely brutal. But hey, at least you're there and you're playing in European competition. That's pretty cool. And good for Dave, because they essentially have a bye.
Yes.
Right, let's have a quick recap of last week's picks. Obviously, Dave, they weren't your picks, so we will just run through quickly how Jerome got on and how we got on. I took Copenhagen again as my banker away at Villa. They won 2-0 at odds of 1-2. So you got an early payout after 76 minutes, and it was a very comfortable banker win.
Also, because of we backed the 12-fold and I put them on Andy, Gordo, Guest. Chronologically, this was the first game with a little green tick beside it, which is always really nice as well. Just game one of 12.
Yeah, it was a Friday night.
Tick, Friday night. Yeah, my banker came in as well. This was Almeria versus Real Madrid. Didn't start out great with Almeria scoring a minute in to take a 1-0 lead. But Real Madrid looked quite good this season and won this game 3-1. Two goals from Mr. Bellingham. Maybe Birmingham were right to retire his number.
When your team goes 1-0 down in the first minute, you know, at least you have 89 minutes. To make that up, like, you have the maximum amount of time to come back. So, yeah, good pick, G man. 2-5 the price of that as well. So that was pretty good.
You know who also scored two goals on Saturday?
Who?
Kevin.
His little brother who plays for Sunderland.
Job Bellingham. Did he? Did he?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's gone from, he was at the Blues, but he's gone to Sunderland, and he scored two for Sunderland. And then obviously they kicked off at 3 o'clock, and then Real Madrid played the night, and then Jude went and scored twice as well.
It's like,
I don't know why my initial guess was Kevin Lasagna. Like, if you had any football related trivia question, do you know who it is? Kevin Lasagna, is it? Like, not this time. So Jerome's banker did not come in. So the banker treble failed, which was unfortunate. because we always want to be hitting the banker treble. That's sort of
we've been really consistent with it as well.
So unfortunate, but we move on. On to the value picks then. My value pick did not come in this week. I've been backing Norgeland pretty consistently. They've won their opening four games, so I've had very good results from them. They weren't going to... It wasn't going to keep happening forever, but I was going to ride the train until it stopped. And it stopped away at Silkeborg, where they lost 2-0 on Sunday. So no value for me.
Value for me. This was Udinese versus Juventus, former home of Kevin Lasagna, Udinese. The Juventus had taken away from home here to win this game. They were 3-0 up at halftime. Don't get much more. And than that, unfortunately, this game was like Sunday night at 8 p.m. So everything that could have died had died by then. So really, it was just a personal victory there. But yeah, so Juventus won that game.
Jerome's value didn't come in either. So myself and Jerome letting down the value picks this week. He'd taken Charlton at home to Port Vale, and they lost what looked like a pretty good game. They lost 3-2. So no joy on the value picks. On to the outsiders. I quite fancied Randers away at Lyngby because they were priced up at a big 9-4. It was a close game. It finished 1-0 to Lyngby. So no outsider for me this week. Gordo, how'd you get on outsider-wise?
Empoli-Verona. I'd taken it as a draw. It was a 1-0 away win for Verona there. I think I was pretty damn close at this. It was a 75th minute goal that got them their only... goal of the game, and pretty close possession. Same goal attempts, same shots on goal, same shots off goal, same blocked shots like throughout the game. Verona's XG was markedly worse, almost twice as bad as Empoli's. But yeah, no outsider for me,
and no outsider for Jerome either, who took a big price on Cardiff away at Leicester, and they lost 2-1. I know, Dave, you liked Leicester. In fact, you like Leicester specifically, both teams to score and Leicester to win. So, well done.
They aren't playing great football, Leicester, but they're winning games while they're not playing great football. And the lad who came on and scored the winner for Leicester is on loan from Chelsea, I believe. I think he played Italian, played in the under-18 World Cup. I think he won Golden Boot. Best player of the tournament. Italy won the tournament, I think. So, seems like he might be
pretty
decent.
Good. Maybe one to watch. Had himself a day. On to the charity bets. And we hit a couple of them very recently. Didn't hit last week, so was looking to hit this one. My charity pick came good. Pretty good odds. 6-5 for Queen's Park away at Arbroath, only fixture in the Scottish Championship. And they duly won 1-0. This was followed up with Jerome getting his charity pick in. A very good price, 6-4 for MK Dons away at Colchester. And they won the game 3-2, although that winning goal came in the 101st minute. So 2-2 for us, which meant it all rested on Gordon again.
Yep. Sunday, 4:30, Kalmar versus Hammarby. Really fancied Hammarby here. 0-0. You look at the game, they got into it the second half. Like it seems a pretty dismal game of football that has taken place with an XG of 0.12 versus 0.56. This is not a game that anyone would really have enjoyed, but Hammarby did have the best of it. 6 goal attempts, 2 on goal, 4 off goal. Like they had less of the possession, but they were catching them on the counter. But that was all in the second half. See, in the first half, like if you look at the first half, expected goals was 0.05. They didn't even do anything. Over a 45-minute period, like that's not even a cross that went through at the goalie. That's somebody thinking about a shot and playing like a pass instead. It's crap. And it was crap because Jerome's one had come in at a really good price as well, even though it was late. So we're about 130 quid we were waiting on this for. So
140.
Fucking shite. And I'll be back in it this week. But we just haven't lined these up well because my value rolled in.
Failed in, but we didn't need it because Jerome and I had failed. But on this one, Jerome and I were in, and you didn't. So we didn't sync up very well. Although we hit quite a lot of the picks across last week's show, so work to be done for this week's show. We're about to head to the midsection for the patrons. So of course we operate a Patreon channel, www. TrampledBet.com, and you can find us there. You can find the Patreon link, the sign up, where you get the midsection. So picks that didn't make the show while everyone else listening to the podcast gets an advert. You also get the cheat sheet, all the picks written down every week. Easy to pull up on your phone, so you don't have to take notes or try and remember anything. You also get the podcast released as a video as soon as we finish filming it, and various different other special edition shows throughout the season where we think we've got something good to say. Like to welcome our new patrons, Thomas, Connor, Edward, Debjit, Tom. Welcome. Thank you very much. We're growing on the Patreon channel, and it's just great to see. So it's really, really appreciated. Okie doke. We'll be back soon with next week's picks. Yeah, time for a break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for the weekend of Saturday, August 26th, 2023. Banker, value, outsider, and a charity pick from myself, Gordon, and Dave end up with 12 picks overall. One day we'll hit the 12 out of 12, but we will start, as always, with the banker picks. And no surprise for guessing what I'm doing here. I'm just going to keep backing Copenhagen because they just keep winning. Their last season's champions, they've got off to a perfect start this campaign. They've won all five of their league games so far and have a maximum 15 points. Last week, they beat Villa 2-0. And yesterday, they overcame Polish side Rakov 1-0 away from home in Champions League qualification. So they just keep winning games. They're on a 10-game unbeaten run. They've won eight of them in 90 minutes. Their opponent, Silkeborg, they've picked up 7 points, scored seven goals, conceded seven goals. Just like the number seven, across their opening five games. They're all right. They're going to be mid-table. But even with the relentless schedule Copenhagen have at the moment, they'll be confident of beating Silkeborg, especially at home. 8-13, 5-8 for a Copenhagen win. So better than 1-2. It's a huge price for a team that's consistently winning football matches. And I know, Gordo, you said that there should be a big reason for the banker breaching that 1-2 limit, but I can't see Copenhagen not winning this, and you're getting an amazing price on it.
You've also had like six in a row. Like, that is a big reason. Like, see, if you're consistently picking them correctly, that's a pretty good reason for it.
So, FC Copenhagen this weekend.
I am at such a familiar location for my banker pick. I backed them all last season. I will back them all this season if they keep up this form. I'm taking Napoli at home to Sassuolo at 1-3. Every bookmaker has the 1-3. Pretty universal price there. Napoli started off their season with a 3-1 win away to promoted New Boys Frosinone. Frosinone took the early lead 7 minutes in, got a goal, but by halftime, Napoli were 2-1 up and had a goal chopped off already for Vardov as well. So they were applying quite a lot of pressure. They've done really well against Sassuolo last three times they've played them. 6-1, 4-0, 2-0. Has been the score lines they've in the last couple of games they've played. Sassuolo started the season by losing 2-0 at home to Atalanta, who are a worse team than Napoli. Plus, Napoli have made some really good signings, one of which is Raspadori, who was playing for Sassuolo last season. He's the guy that the Italians have got the big hope of him being a decent striker for them again. He's 23. He's played six seasons in the top flight. So he's been playing since he was 17 as up top. They've kept Osimhen. They've still got Irving Lozano. They've got all these players. They'll be a threat again this season. 1-3, a game I expect to be early paid out on. Banker done.
Nice.
Dave, where are you? What you got?
Mine's at Sunday at 7:45 p.m. UK time. And I'm in Turkey. And it's Fenerbahce against Baz Axi here. I'm sure Joey will tell me if I'm saying that wrong. I like Fenerbahce at 5 to 11. So Fenerbahce at first. I've got 6 points from their two games. While Bazakshir are dead last in 20th. They've got no points from their two games. And they haven't scored a goal yet this season. Fenerbahce have actually played 6 competitive games this season. They played two-legged ties in the Europa Conference qualifying, where they beat Zimbru 9-0 on AG in the first round and Maribor 6-1 on aggregate in the second qualifying round. And then they've actually got a game against they played 20 from Holland tomorrow night, which will be a tough game for them, I think. But the way they're playing in the Turkish League, I'd expect them to have still too much, even if they get a tough game tomorrow. You know, Dzeko's got 3 goals in 2 games for them. They've just signed Fred from United.
Fred again.
Under an Almaz, they've signed from Marseille. They brought in Ryan Kent and Tadic as well. So, you know, they've got a very good side for the Turkish League, and I don't think they'll have any problems there.
Yeah, and that game against 20 is a home game for them, so there's not even travel associated with that. So
yeah.
Into their hands. Good stuff, Dave. There are no odds on Bet365 on this game yet, and they're waiting until closer to the weekend. So I can't price up the banker treble, but it'll be a tasty one, because just mining Gordon's picks alone gets you over even money. And then you add on that, so you'll be looking around 2-1, something like that. So great stuff. Great stuff. Okay, on to the value picks then. I am staying in Denmark, but this game is late in the weekend card. Monday at 6 p.m. UK time for Vejle versus Brøndby. Through 5 games, Brøndby, they're sitting in third place. They've got 9 points. Vejle are dead last, 0 points from 5 games. Even worse than that, they have lost their last 8 games in a row across all competitions. The last 5 meetings between these two exact sides have been 4 Brøndby wins and 1 draw. Brøndby are, you know, they're playing pretty well. They got a good 1-0 victory away at Midtjylland last time out. They will be expecting to beat Vejle comfortably, and they're even money to do so. And I think that's a tremendous price.
Okie dokie. I mean, that sounds pretty good for you in there. Trusting you with the Danish boys at the moment. They're there.
Monday night, though. Monday night. Imagine it's all waiting on that. 6 p.m. on a Monday. Love it.
Great. We have a whole day at work feeling sick and looking at the cash out button. So I am still in the Sierra for me. This is not a Monday game because I'm not an animal. This is Sunday at 5:30, which is already quite a fucking mean time to be taking a pick. And this is Fiorentina versus Lecce. And I fancy Lecce on the double chance here. So you can get Lecce straight up at 5-1. I'm not recommending that. I like them at the double chance of 15-11 or 11-8, depending on which bookmaker you can get them at here. There's some weird stuff going on. The odds are moving as I'm reading them. The reason I like Lecce here is they've started their campaign really well. They beat Lazio 2-1 in the first game of the season. 2 late goals as well, scoring like the 88th and 89th minute to beat Lazio here. Fiorentina also started really well, beating Genoa 4-1, who were recently promoted. They were 3-0 up at halftime there as well. The reason I think this might be a problem for Fiorentina this game is that they have to play in rather cruel fixture tomorrow night away at Austria Vienna. They have to play away at Austria Vienna, then they play on Sunday night. So there's not much time between these games, and it's the middle of a doubleheader in the Conference League. It's early in the season. If they drop points to Lecce here, it's all going to be forgotten, you know, 30 games down the line. Lecce here, they started the season well. I think there's a good chance that we can get some value out of this, and you'll get Lecce here on the double chance, the X2 market at 15 to 11. Or 11-8. Sorry, it's changed again. This is like because I downloaded the most recent flash score, it's like moved between the bet victor jump to the top. Like it puts the highest odds to the top. Yep. So yeah, 11-8 at 365 for Lecce to get a result against Fiorentina.
That's pretty big. Pretty big.
Dave, what you got?
I'm back in my in England, and it's League One. It's Saturday, 3 o'clock, and it's Wigan against Barnsley, and I like Wigan at 5-4. Wigan are 19th. They've got 2 points after four games, but they did start the season with an 8-point deduction. Where Barnsley are 15th, they've got 4 points from their four games. Wigan are the form side in League One. They're taking 10 points from their four games. Scored 9. They've only conceded 3. While Barnsley are 16th. They've scored 10, conceded 7. Wigan would be top of the league if it wasn't for their points deduction. They've already beat Derby away. The smash Bolton away last week.
Yeah, I 4-0. Seen that. 4-0.
Yeah, I mean, Bolton did have a few players out, but that's still a fantastic result. You know, both of them sides, Derby and Bolton, are fancied. And then they beat Northampton at home and a draw with Carlisle. And then since Barnsley beat Port Vale 7-0 on opening day, they haven't won a game. They've drawn with Bristol Rovers, and then they've lost to Oxford and Peterborough. Charlie White's got 5 goals. He's the league's top scorer for Wigan. Of course, managed by Sean Maloney. Seems to have gone playing really, really good football. And also, Barnsley haven't won away in their last 5 competitive games. So, yeah, I think I'm happy to stick with Wigan while they're on this sort of run. Like I say, playing good football. So,
sounds good, man.
Excellent.
Yeah,
yeah,
I like so. I like a Sean Maloney managed team here. He was like the Belgian assistant coach for a while as well before he got.
He was.
Yeah. Didn't he manage him for like 2 games?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. We were not very good.
Okay, so that makes the value treble this week. A win for Bromby away at Viley, Lecce or draw in their game against Fiorentina, and a win for Wigan at home to Barnsley. Shakes out in 9.6-1. So a tenner on that, return you over £100. Pretty decent. On to the outsiders then. This is where we look for something the bookies have priced up as an underdog, but we think has a reasonable chance of coming in. I'm in the Japanese top flight, the J1 League, on Saturday at 11 a.m. UK time for Kyoto Sanga versus Avispa Fukuoka. Fukuoka are 8th in the table, 35 points from 24 games, while Kyoto Sanga are back in 15th place with 26 points from their 24 games. Fukuoka have won the last 4 meetings of the sides here, and I think they're overpriced as 2-1 underdogs. They've won their last 5 away games in all competitions. They're currently joint top of the league's 5-game form table, taking 12 points from their last 5 matches. Kyoto Sanga managed 6 points from their last 5, so not great. Fukuoka should probably be favourites here. They're 2-1, so yeah. Easy decision for my outsider this week. Nothing stood out as much as this.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I don't know why they're 2-1.
Yeah, seems like I don't know why they're that high. I think that'll come down.
Yeah, so. Fair enough. I'm glad that you brought that to us at 2-1. That's nice of you to do that for us. Do you know what else is fucking massively overpriced this weekend? Tromso away to Sarpsborg. This was the reason that in the middle section I didn't pick any of the predicted games that I talked about in there, and I went for this one. Tromso are fab in this league at the moment. They're right up behind both Bodo and Viking for trying to take points off the big boys and trying to push themselves into their European slots. Their European slots are first, second, third, Champions, Europa, Conference, very clean table there. There's none of these double teams getting anywhere. And Tromso are 5 points clear of Molde, who are just behind them there. They're playing against the Sarpsborg team that can't decide if they're good or bad. This is some of the results. A great 3-0 win away at ODD. A 2-1 loss to Stromgazette. A 5-1 loss to the team that I back against consistently in this league, Sandefjord. A 2-1 win against Haggesund, and then losing 5-1 to Molde. So they can't decide if they're all right or they're absolutely... There's no draws in here. They just get shelled or they win the game. There's nothing. But you contrast that with Tromso's last 4 games, all 4 wins. The loss before that was against Rosenborg here. Tromso won the last meeting of the two teams 2-1 earlier on in this season. Their season started in June. That was the home fixture. This is the away one. You get Tromso 11-4 here, and it's 11-4 for a team in third. The team who are second in the form table, taking 12 points versus Sarpsborg, who have taken 6 points from the last five. And the games that they haven't won, they've got fucking dismantled. Like, they've been taken apart. So
is there a home away platoon split there? Like, what's, or is it just random?
It's a bit odd in there, in that the 2 weeks, so the two losses, right? So against Stromgasset and Sandefjord, who are both bad, came week after week. Yep. A 2-1 loss away at home and a 5-1 loss at home to Sandefjord.
Wow. Okay. So no advance. There's not.
They got beat 5-1 at home by Molde. So their win against ODD last week was actually a little bit out of character here. But if you look at the stats in that game as well, it was 2-0 for a long time with two goals chopped off for ODD in there as well. They scored in the 90th at the 90th minute to make it 3-0. And if you look at the stats in the game as well, ODD had a lot of the ball, but just no their expected goals was really low in there. So Sarpsborg were hitting them on the counter. They can't really do that at home. They kind of, like, their home fans are not going to accept you sitting in like against this. Anyway, I think Tromso are massively overpriced here. 11-4 for a team bang in form against a team who can't decide if they're any good. Give me that all day. Dave, what you got outsider-wise?
Yeah, also, before I give you mine, the Matchbook podcast came out this afternoon with their tips, and one of their tips was that Tromso plus half a goal on the Asian handicap. So nice.
Fucking Joey's been involved with that. I can feel it talking about this plus half a goal. Yeah. I only deal in full goals. Like,
so you're not the only person that certainly is tipping them for a win.
Good.
Yeah. So mine, I think, will be the last. It's Sunday at 8:30 English time. And I'm in Spain in La Liga, and it's Atletico Bilbao against Betis. And I like Real Betis at 16-5. So Betis are seventh after their two games. They've got 4 points. Bilbao are 10th. They've got 3 points after their two games. You know, Betis have already been to Villarreal, picked up a win on opening day, and then they drew with Atletico Madrid at home last week. So two good results. Bilbao lost to Madrid on opening day. There's no shame in that. And then they beat Osasuna 2-0. But my luck, Betis are unbeaten in the last three meetings with Bilbao. And the last time the teams met at the Estadio San Juan, Betis won 1-0. Betis also finished higher than them last season. They finished sixth, Bilbao finished eighth. And Betis made some, of course, managed by Manuel Pellegrini, obviously used to manage Man City. Made some great signings. Signed Iosi Perez from Leicester, Hector Bellerin, Isco. Signed. Yeah. I mean, they have lost Joaquin, who decided to retire at the end of the season, but he was like literally 104.
He's played like 900 games for Betis at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. I genuinely thought he just had a contract where he just played like literally until he died, like every year.
Yeah. Out you go, son.
Yeah, no, he's 42 apparently when he retired. But I just think they're a bit overpriced here, Betis, at that when they're putting two good results at the start of the season, and the history over Bilbao, I think they'll do well.
Sounds good.
Nice one. Big prices. So the outsider treble this week, should you fancy it? Obviously it's big, so I will be taking it as a trixie to try and get 2 of 3 and still get a return. Avispa Fukuoka away at Kyoto Sanga, Tromso away at Sarpsborg, and Betis away at Athletic Bilbao. Translates into 46.5-1. So, worth a small wager. On to the charity picks then. Let's try and do one better than last week, where we went 2 of 3 and get the full 3 of 3 and donate some money to charity next week. I am in the Scottish Championship at a game I'm going to be at. It's Somerset Park in Ayr for Ayr United versus Dundee United, the battle of the Uniteds in Scotland. There are only two of us. So, yep. The big United against the small United. And I'll let you work out which one's which there. I think it's a big price for league favourites, Dundee United away at Ayr, because you're getting them at 8-5. They showed heart in their last league game. They rescued a point against Dunfermline right at the death. They won their opening game away at Arbroath 4-0. I'm optimistic that Dundee United are going to live up to their league favourite status this season. Okay, we're only two games into the season, so 4 points for Dundee United, 3 points for Ayr. There's not much to go on in the way of form. 8-5 is a really big price, though, and getting that for Dundee United against anyone else in the league, it just shouldn't be passed up. It's just too big. So I'm going to take Dundee United as my charity pick this week.
No problemo. Yeah, 8-5 is pretty big price in there.
Big.
I am in a much more tropical and interesting game as a fan to attend. I think personally I'd much rather be at Valladolid versus Alcorcón in the Spanish second division here. But 38 degrees, you can buy a beer in the turnstiles, you don't have to go to Ayr. All good things in here. So yeah, this is the second round of La Liga, the second division. And you've got Valladolid at home to Alcorcón here. Bit of a shitebag price here in 2-3, but pretty much every bookmaker has it the same thing. Sorry, I was trying to do more irritating fractions that weren't 4-6 there, that but my brain wasn't. What, 8-12? Did I do it for you?
12. Yeah, it's 4-6.
Anyway, 2-3. So you'll get Valladolid at home here. They've been okay to start the season here. They had their first game that they played was a 2-0 win against Gijon. Gijon had been really good in this division last season. They won that game 2-0. They had a bit of a troubling one against Zaragoza, who are pretty decent. But the way that Valladolid nearly stayed up last season in the top division was by winning all of their home games. And they couldn't have a better opponent for their second home game of the season playing against Alcorcón. Alcorcón have played two games. They've lost them both. They've lost them both to nil, and they've conceded 6 goals total in their first two games they're playing. They have been rubbish. I think Valladolid win this game. There's not really that much more behind it. They just are playing against a team that's worse than this league over the first two games. They're a shortish price for a charity, but I really don't want to be the guy that keeps killing this. So I thought I'd take a bit of a hit on the price here and stop fucking around. Right.
Pick a winner. You won't have any complaints.
Aye.
Sounds good.
So I'll be taking Valladolid 1x. but no, so that's me. You get them 4-6 to win this game. So, Dave, how are you going to round out the podcast and hopefully give us the third of three charity winners?
Yeah, I'll take you to a sunny climate as well. It's English League 2, Saturday at 3 p.m. It's Gillingham against Colchester, and I'm going to take Gillingham at 6-7. Which I am very surprised at, to be honest, because I thought there'd be a lot more bankery than this. Because Gillingham are first, they've got 12 points from their 4 games. They've scored 4 goals and conceded none. Colchester are rock bottom. They've got no points from their, they've played 3 games. They've scored 3 goals and conceded 7. So Gillingham have won every league game this season 1-0.
Amazing.
Played 4 games, won them all 1-0. And they beat Southampton in the League Cup as well, but that was 3-1. And then Colchester, obviously, they've lost every game. They've lost their League Cup game. They haven't actually won in the last 6 competitive games, and they haven't kept a clean sheet in their last 7 competitive games either.
Because they've got Crystal Palace goalkeeper. Jerome was telling us last week.
Yeah. who's apparently pish.
Apparently, yeah. Jerome made him sound like the worst footballer to ever grace the planet.
Yeah, I did hear that, yeah. So, yeah, that's certainly obviously going against them at the minute as well. But I think 6-7 is a great price for a team that are top and have won every game against a team that are bottom and have won no games. I think 6-7 is pretty decent price and happy to throw him in.
Superb. So that means a charity treble this week then of Dundee United via the lead in Gillingham. Works out at 6.8-1. So £78 going to charity. Should we be successful with our charity picks this week? And G-Man, it is your turn to back that.
Definitely is my turn to back it. A real pass across. It's not like a two wins pass across there. That's a proper, you know, you deserve to be backing it this week, son.
You're backing it this week. So yeah, all fun and games. Join the Facebook group, guys. If you're not already a member of our Facebook group, just search Trample Bet Podcast on Facebook and click the join button. We've got a community nearing 300 folk in there that share tips and picks and what we like from the weekend, in addition to the show's picks, obviously. Bruce March has been doing a great job with his golf picks. I would heavily recommend having a look at that. He hit Lucas Glover two wins back-to-back. Huge price is 80-1 price. And then last week I backed Brian Harman as per his write-up, who finished in the top eight at 45-1. So I got my each way price on 45-1. So thank you again, Bruce. Tremendous. So join the Facebook group. Also sign up to Patreon if you'd like to give something back to the show and get the cheat sheet. So all the picks written down and the midsection of this show too. I think that's about it, gentlemen. Thank you very much. As usual, I think we've got a good show. Fingers crossed for the weekend ahead. Anything to add before we round this one up?
No, I think it's been as you said, it's been a tight show. You've pulled it together, Andy, despite feeling a bit sorry for yourself here. So looking forward.
I was feeling a little bit sorry of myself, but it turns out I'm a puma. That's just a callback to the midsection. So you don't know what we're talking about unless you know jokes that don't make sense. There you go. That's just a little in joke for our Patreon members to round off this fine podcast. Thank you everyone for listening. Best of luck with your weekend bets. Thank you, Gordo. Thank you, Dave. We will see you all next week. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trampled Bet Podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.